I am proud to be an American. And I am very thankful for all the men and women who gave their lives so that I can be an American, so that I can enjoy the privileges and the freedoms that we all have as Americans. However, I'm more proud to be a Christian, and I'm more thankful for my brothers and sisters who went before me and sacrificed everything so that the gospel would move forward. Can I get an amen? I know there's been a lot of blood shed for America, but there's been a lot of blood shed for Jesus. And there is still brothers and sisters around this world who are giving up their lives daily so that others might come to know the love of Christ. So that others might come to love, follow, and share Jesus. And so today we're looking at not Memorial Day for Americans, but the sacrifice that is required of each of us in the name of Jesus. And so, as we look at verse 1 of chapter 16, continue the story of the Holy Spirit's work in His church, now specifically through a new team, that being Paul, Silas, and Timothy. For the last, seven chapters or so, it's been Paul and Barnabas. We have a whole new team doing a whole new missional work. And so we read, Paul came also to Derbe and Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer. But his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. We are told that this man named Timothy, was well spoken of by the brothers. But there was a problem. What was the problem? Class. His father was a Greek. For some weird reason, 2,000 years later, we need to figure that out, but there's a problem here. Well spoken of by all the believers of the church in these two communities, these two cities that are near one another, but he was the son of a Greek father. We keep reading that Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. And as they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. Notice we are told a second time here about this problem. A second time, Luke points out that his father was a Greek. The end of verse 3 there. So what's going on here? What's the issue about his father being a Greek? Let's look at the background of this story. First of all, Paul wants to take this young guy Timothy with him on the next missional journey. Okay? Paul sees something in this young man Timothy and he says, I want this guy on my team. Problem. What's the problem? Jews have a problem with this particular individual because his father was a Greek. And then we see that the solution to this problem is that Paul took Timothy and did what? Circumcised him. Good times, right, gentlemen? So problem and solution, but What's connecting here? I'm not quite sure. Let's explain what's really happening. First of all, Timothy. What do we know about Timothy? He was a Christian. Okay? This guy, Timothy, was a believer. We have several points of evidence throughout the New Testament. First of all, 2 Timothy 1 through 5. Paul speaking to Timothy in one of the books, one of the letters to him. I am reminded of your sincere faith, the faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Louise and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. Through the influence of this guy's mother and grandmother, Timothy came to know the Lord. Also, through the influence of Paul, Timothy came to know the Lord. We read in 1 Corinthians 4:17, Paul speaking about Timothy, that is why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach them everywhere in every church. When Paul talked about Timothy being a child Did he literally mean that Timothy was a child? Yes or no? No. All right, Timothy was not a child. He was a young man. Some scholars even debate that he was probably in his 30s or even later, because, you know, elders were really old, and you could still be a young man or an older man and not qualify as old-time elder for that synagogue distinguishment. So what is he saying in 1 Corinthians? I believe it's because Paul, with Barnabas' help, preached in these cities, and people came to know the Lord. And through Paul's preaching in that particular city, Timothy heard, Timothy responded. Timothy is a product of Paul's gospel preaching in this community. Therefore, he calls him one of my children. One of those he had influence in leading to the Lord. And then also in verse 2, again, we were reminded, this Timothy was well spoken by all the brothers, all the believers in these two cities. 1 Timothy 4:14, Paul speaking again, "Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you." Speaking of Timothy, these churches in these two cities not only thought that he was, you know, well spoken of, but they put hands on him to commission him and send him out. And then 2 Timothy 1:6-7, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." Timothy, foundationally, was a faithful, devoted believer of the Lord Jesus Christ. Got that? So what's the issue? What's the problem? If there's all this testimony about this man being faithful to the Lord, what's the problem? In a nutshell, his problem was his dad. You see, Jews were not supposed to marry Gentiles. Right? Do not be unequally yoked. Jews were not supposed to go and marry Gentiles, but his mom did. And according to Jewish tradition, if there was a child born between a Jew parent and a Gentile parent, that child was still technically a Jew. So technically, according to traditions, according to all these Jews who were living in these cities, Timothy was a Jew, but what's the problem? He wasn't circumcised. If you are a Jew, you're supposed to be circumcised. If you're a Christian, you're supposed to be what? Baptized. This was an outward, external evidence piece of what the person internally believed. And to be part of the Jewish community, there is a very physical, visible identifier for men to be part of that community. And Timothy had not been cut. So, the Jewish community, what did they think about him? Traditionally, they said that a guy who was not circumcised and was a Jew was technically an apostate. He had turned his back on the faith. Turned his back on Yahweh, turned his back on the community. Timothy then would have been this huge stumbling block to Paul's ministry. It would have hindered the advancement of the gospel, because the first thing they would have heard, he's not circumcised, they don't want to hear anything else. All right, I'm going to come back to this, but let's take a break. As Christians, Jesus, New Testament, all this stuff, men, do we need to be circumcised? No. Must a man be circumcised to be saved? No. Okay, the last message that we dealt with in Acts was chapter 15, and that was Paul and Barnabas going to the Jerusalem church, and they had this big powwow, this big debate, this big argument about whether or not Gentiles needed to be circumcised. And the ruling from that council was what? Do they need to be circumcised? No. Okay, in order to be what? Saved. All right? However, well, let me put it this way. The ruling, Gentiles would not be required, let me state it again, Gentiles would not be required to become Jews to become Christians. Can you follow that? The ruling basically was that we were not going to require Gentiles to first become Jews in order to become Christians. Okay? However, they also said Jews would not have to abandon their Jewishness in order to become Christians. Does that make sense? So Gentiles, men, you get to escape the knife. Jews, if you want the knife for your children, go ahead and have at it. Okay? But it's not required to come to Jesus. So, there's this potential great problem that could potentially hinder Paul's ministry because this Jewish people saw Timothy as an apostate. He had not followed through with the first command to do with your children. This brings us to our central truth today, what we're really dealing with. Being a Christian means sacrificing everything so that others might come to love, to follow, and to share Jesus. If we say we are Christians, and we are about loving the Lord Jesus, we're about being obedient and following the Lord Jesus so that others might come to love, follow, and share Jesus as well, the question we have to ask ourselves today is, what are we willing to sacrifice to see others come to know the Lord? Personally, corporately, you, me. What are we each willing to sacrifice so that others might come to know Jesus? Now notice, Paul did circumcise Timothy, right? It happened. And Timothy allowed it, right? We're talking about a grown man exposing himself, getting cut up by another grown man, and enduring pain. There's no local anesthetics, all right? He didn't have to do this, right? You know, to come to Jesus, it was not required, but he did it nonetheless so that it would not be a stumbling block to preaching the gospel to different cultures, specifically the Jewish culture. Timothy willingly sacrificed. Can we all agree on that? Okay. Why? For the advancement of the gospel. That was it. He took one for the team so that the gospel would go out. So again, the question for us today, what are we willing to sacrifice so that we will see more and more people come to love, follow, and share Jesus? What are we willing to sacrifice? This is our purpose as a church. This is our goal. This is why we exist. What will we allow to get into the way of it? Or what will we be willing to give up? We've begun a whole new chapter as the Way Fellowship Church today. And honestly, I think it's more like book two in a long trilogy or whatever. I mean, this is big. I mean, this is a symbol of what God is doing, all things new. As we begin today, have we arrived? Is the race over? Are we going to retreat now into the sanctuary that we've received? Or are we going to be about getting out of here and going, sacrificing so that others might come to love, follow, and share Jesus? Timothy made an extreme sacrifice for the gospel, and I believe that today God would have us reflect on five different areas in which we can sacrifice, in which He will call us to continually and always sacrifice so that the gospel would get out there. Five things. Number one, time. Will you make time for the gospel? I'm busy. Will you make time? Will you prioritize your life around the gospel? First and foremost, the gospel. See, my priority list is Jesus, then my wife, then my children, then my church. But Jesus is the priority, and that name getting out there is the priority of my life and should be yours as well. This week, and last week, and the last 4 months, all of us have pitched in, and there's been a lot of time put into this morning, to this event, to this honeymoon. You know, Monday, Bill and Missy were back here cleaning. Bill's been clocking in longer hours all week long, doing all sorts of stuff. Eric, Chris was in the attic running lines, getting dirty. Mel was tearing down walls like a beast. Time. You know, we might not have other things, but a lot of us just have time. And others have to make time because our priorities are all out of whack. What can we do? What can we sacrifice as we move forward in our area of time so that others might come to love, follow, and share Jesus? Well, Joel highlighted the Waywater. Is that right? The Waywater Works outreach event. You got a flyer on your seat. We need people to come. We need people to make sure kids aren't clobbering one another. The parents are behaving as well, that food's getting distributed, and we just need people to show up and smile because Jesus loves them. Joel and Susie have their VBS thing. That's happening in 2 weeks. Susie contacted me Friday. She still needs three more workers. I plan on being there unless I get called to jury duty that week. I'm on jury duty rotation. Okay, but she needs three more people. And then 2 weeks later, we're going to have ours. And guys, people are giving up their time to come help us. All right, a team from North Carolina is coming to help Joel and Susie. They got about 10 people. They need three more. When we do our VBS, we're going to have 20 different young adults coming from all over the country to help do our VBS. But we're going to need more than 20 adults. And I know it's in the morning. I know some of you work. But what are we willing to sacrifice in the area of time so that the gospel gets out there? Time. We need more children's workers. Isn't that a sacrifice? You know? Wiping snotty little noses and stuff. We do need more help in the children's ministry. Number two, talents. What can we sacrifice? We can sacrifice our talents. Some of us have natural giftedness. Some of us have spiritual giftedness. All right, if you've never figured out what your spiritual gift is, then come and see me. I can give you a test because we all like taking tests. But the truth is, when you were born, God wired you a certain way and He gave you certain skill sets to do certain things. And you know what? Those things that you do in the business world, you can do in the church world as well. There's lots of areas that we are in need of for help. And then there's those spiritual gifts, those ministerial gifts that we need to start putting into place in order that the gospel will advance. So again, we tore down a wall. Couldn't have done that without Mel. He has expertise. Right? We fixed some things with the sound system and Chris got up in there. Don't ask me to do that. Not only the time and the sweat and the dirtiness, well, he's always dirty, but you know, the knowledge, because he works for Cox Communications. So we had the guy in the church to do that, you know? Eric, splicing cables and doing all sorts of stuff with a sound system like he always do. We have specific people with specific skill sets, and there's lots of people, I don't even know what skill sets you have and how you can get appropriated into the ministry. But the question is first, will you be willing to? You be willing to? Off the top of my head, we're in desperate need of a new Bible study teacher. Look around, we're bigger. We need more Bible teachers. People who are willing to step up. Graphic artists. Someone to coordinate dinners. Parkwood's coming in 2 weeks. I need a point person to feed them. We're going to do something in the building with them Wednesday night. I need someone to handle food and stuff. Greeters. The list goes on and on. What skills can you use? Andy, you could feed them. And he's a chef. You're hoping it didn't come to my head. Treasures, number three. God gives us treasures. He gives us money. He gives us valuables. Are we putting them to use for the kingdom? Or are we hoarding them? These are from Andy Stanley, and I'm going to start using them, start teaching them in our church. But the three aspects of what it means to sacrifice when it comes to our treasures. Number one, priority. I want to start teaching the priority of our monies is what? Priority number one is what? Money goes where? God has given us this money. It's His anyway. But you know what? When I pull out my wallet and I put the money in the plate, doesn't that hurt? Isn't that painful? Especially if it's cash. But you know what? God uses our money to advance the gospel. He does. You know, and we're going to be in this flux transitional thing for the next 2 months of seeing, you know, how the money situation is going to work out and all those sorts of things, you know. But the truth is, if anyone's waiting to see how it works before they start giving, what can we do if everyone is giving? What kind of ministries can we do if we had more money? Not that we need it right now. Priority. Giving first, saving second, living on the rest. Giving, saving, living on the rest. If we're in debt, we can't advance the kingdom very much, can we? So what will it take sacrificing for the next year, 2, 3, 4, 5 years to get out of debt and give more money to the gospel? Number two on this list, percentage. I know it's typical and traditional, you give 10%. You know, that's the big sacrifice, 10%. But you know what? If you're a baby Christian, you need baby steps. Choose a percentage, just 5%. Just 5%, 6%, whatever you want to give. Commit yourself to the Lord for a year and say, I'm going to give this percentage for the full year. And just be consistent in the sacrifice and see what God will do. You know, I'm all, you know, go for 10%. I'm not denying you the pleasure and the blessings that come with that. But, you know, tithing, scary, never done it before. I'm asking you, will you be consistent for the next year at a specific percentage? And then number three, progressive. The following year, after you've seen that the Lord is good, after you've witnessed the Lord's blessing in that sacrifice, will you choose to increase that percentage point? But the truth is, this costs us. But the truth is, it costs Jesus everything. Right? So, what are we willing to sacrifice? Personally, you don't like that, do you? And me, when it comes to our monies. Number two, or four, I can't count. I'm an English teacher. Number four, traditions. I'm an English nerd. I got alliteration going, guys. 5 points, and they're all going to start with T. Traditions. What are we willing to sacrifice when it comes to our methods, our practices? There's this old story. You probably heard it because it's old. It's been around the block for a while. But the newlywed couple are in the kitchen. Husband comes home from work, and the wife's cooking dinner. And she takes out the ham, she takes out the big sword, and starts cutting off the side. She cuts off this side, she cuts off that side, and as she's cutting off the ends of the roast, the husband says, "What the heck are you doing? Why are you cutting off the ends of the roast? That's perfectly good stuff right there." And she says, "Well, that's how my mother always did it." Have you ever heard this story? Okay. And he's like, he's just perturbed. You know, he just got home from work. You know, I make money. You're wasting money. What's going on here? Call your mom. What's going on here? Why would she throw away perfectly good? So they get in this big argument. You know, they're married. It's the first argument. Wife calls mom. Mom, why did you always cut off the ends of the ham or the roast? I don't know. My mother always did that. That's how my mother did it. So on the chain goes up to Grandma, and they call Grandma, "Grandma, why did you always cut off the ends of the roast?" "Because my cooker was only this big. And it wouldn't fit in there unless I cut off the ends of the roast." Guys, we have so many traditions, and we don't even know why we do them. Now, I'm not opposed to traditions, and the truth of it is, those of us who have come over to this new location, we have our traditions too, and those will pass also. But why do we do things? The point is, everything that we do is so that others might come to love, follow, and share Jesus. And any tradition that gets in the way of that is gone. Christy and I, when we got married, when we entered into a new marriage together, all the traditions changed. Right? Two different sets of family to cater to. You know, it lasted about 3 years where we were going to both sides of the family for Thanksgiving. And then as we got more and more kids, it was just like, we can't do this. Sorry, Mom. Sorry, Dad. We have to pick one and we'll alternate. Sorry. You know? For Christmas, my whole tradition, my upbringing was we open presents on Christmas Eve. I don't know why. Oh, yeah, I do. Because one side of the family felt awkward about us opening them in front of them Christmas morning when they came over. So for like years, we opened all of our presents on Christmas Eve. We don't do that anymore. When I became a pastor, Christmas Eve became like non-existent. You know? We used to have a big to-do with our family on Christmas Eve, but that don't happen anymore. You know why? Anyone? Christmas Eve service. It's part of my job. It's just hard. You know, we try to invite some friends over now. You know, not a family thing. Invite some neighbors. Make it a missional thing. You know, but our traditions changed. Right? Traditions changed. What are we willing to sacrifice so that others might come to love, to follow, and share Jesus? The good news is that we get to build new traditions together. And it will be exciting because you know what? It's going to be God doing it, not us. Number five, tastes. What are we willing to sacrifice? Our own tastes, our personal opinions, ideas, perspectives, desires, attitudes, preferences, prejudices, likes and dislikes. Yeah, you saw the Giants, didn't you? Cardinals versus Giants. You know, we all have our tribes and our teams, and we all have ideas of what this works and that works and what we're used to. What are we willing to sacrifice so that others might come to love, follow, share Jesus? And I just want to draw attention to just two things there. One, we got a doctor and we got a trash collector. Who's the gospel for? Both. Got a young lady and an old lady. Who's the gospel for? Both. And what is surrounding this little building? Both. We are here to reach people for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know what? God's given us lots of people around 85382. New homes going up just down the street. What are we willing to sacrifice so that others might come to love, follow, and share Jesus? Here, as we gather, and out there, as y'all scatter, what are we willing to sacrifice? And we're not done, but we're almost done. Verse 5, look at the results. So, therefore, the result. The churches were strengthened in the faith, and what? They increased in numbers daily. Two things occurred because of Timothy's sacrifice. And it's these same things that will occur if we are willing to sacrifice. Number one, the churches were strengthened in the faith. Paul, Silas, and now this young man Timothy go out on their second missional journey, going back, retracing their steps, and strengthening the churches that they previously planted. Discipleship is occurring. People are being built up and growing up. However, it's not just people sitting in a classroom having knowledge dumped into their heads and feeling good about themselves. Churches were strengthened in the faith, and because of that, what happens? They increased in numbers daily. Discipleship occurred, and guys, true discipleship results in more people coming to know Jesus. I'm going to be very clear on this, because I think Scripture is. True discipleship, not sitting on your fanny with the Bible open, receiving, but going with the nourishment that you've received, going and making disciples. Multiplication. This word increased in the Greek is ongoing. Every day, more and more we're coming to love, follow, and share Jesus. Our central truth today, being a Christian means what? Sacrificing everything and anything so that more and more people will come to know Him. Amen? We're going to continue worshiping. We're moving into a time of response that we can respond to the music and to the Holy Spirit and prayer and all that kind of stuff. There are five things here, and I'm going to ask you, what is God saying to you in these five areas when it comes to Joe who lives on your street? When it comes to Jesse who works at your work? Who in your life has God called you to make a disciple of, and what are you willing to sacrifice that the gospel might come out of your mouth and be received by each of those? Let's pray. Father, we love You and we thank You. We thank You for Your Word, because Your Word is a sharp double-edged sword and it cuts. And Lord, I pray that today in our first service together, Lord, that You would bless not only the receiving of Your Word, Lord, but the doing of it, Lord. That You would continue to work inside our minds and our hearts and the body of these believers. And Lord, that You would send us out with a passion, with a renewed desire to see more and more people come to know You. Lord, be our strength. Be our words. Lord, let us operate in Your power and Your leading as we do this. But Lord, we pray for blessing. We pray that we would see more people come to know You this year. And Lord, convict us right now of those areas that we need to sacrifice. Thank You for Your love. We praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.